Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're the place that you can turn to get honest, objective, real science information to live a longer and healthier and happier life. We begin our program today with a study from the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital in Australia. And they're saying that vitamin B3 can help prevent visual loss. Well, that's good. According to the Royal Victoria Institute, they were hoping for a simple vitamin B3 supplement that could make a difference. And they found it. And it helps delay or prevent glaucoma. This is the world's first clinical trial. It's underway at the Center for Eye Research in Australia and at Melbourne, and the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital to test the effectiveness of vitamin B3 in glaucoma patients. And there is enough science to justify this. In fact, there's a lot of science on the B complex. What it does, mind you, we're talking about many different nutrients. We're talking about B1, B2, B3, B6, choline, inositol, vitamin B12, and folic acid amongst them. So if we're taking a multiple vitamin, B vitamin, each day, I suggest 25 milligrams of B1, 2, and 6. I suggest up to 1 milligram of B12 and folic acid in methylated form. Then you'll be fine. But this specifically was about vitamin B3. Historically, it had been called niacin, and you had two forms. You had the flush kind that was first used by Dr. Abram Hoffer in Canada. He was an MD, PhD, and he was the founder, along with Dr. Linus Pauling, of an institute specifically to study nutrients on mental conditions. Orthomolecular medicine, it was called. Orthomolecular, meaning the higher doses of different nutrients that would impact your behavior. And the very first study on schizophrenia showed that the nutrients, including vitamin B3 and niacin, helped with schizophrenia. That was the first article ever published in a peer-reviewed journal that showed a natural nutrient did as well as the drugs. So now they're saying if you have glaucoma, then use vitamin B3. Now also, they found out that lower doses of radiation is linked to heart disease. This is from Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. According to the study, people exposed to low dose of ionizing radiation may have an extra but modest risk of developing heart disease during their lifetime. And this was published by the International Consortium of Researchers. The study suggests that radiation exposure across a range of doses may be related to an increased risk of not just cancer, but has been previously appreciated that it can also manifest in cardiovascular disease. That's according to Dr. Andrew Eisenstein, MD, PhD, professor of medicine at Columbia University's Vagelos College of Physicians and Surgeons. Now, why is this important? Because how many times have we been told, well, low doses are not a problem, like depleted uranium. But depleted uranium is less than what it was at full strength, but it's still enough to destroy your immune system, cause all forms of diseases. And there was a Dr. Doug Rocky, who was sent over by the Pentagon to analyze all this with a whole team, and they came back with this data. By the way, the researchers in this study used 93 studies covering all ranges of radiation exposure to find a relationship between dose and heart disease. And they found an increased excess lifetime risk of 2.3 to 3.9 cardiovascular deaths per 100 persons exposed to one small unit of radiation. So we've got to pay attention. If you don't need an x-ray and it can't be shown that there's no other way of telling if you have a condition, okay. But then you should be on a protocol to help reduce the hydroxyl free radicals caused by the radiation. Just important, just sharing this with you. Now from Shanghai University, Chinese exercises can improve your cardiovascular health. So there's two ways that I approach a situation, actually three. One is, can we prevent it? And then you look at all the scientific literature, maybe not in the United States, because maybe we haven't done the research yet. Maybe in China, Japan, in South Korea, maybe in India, other places, they've been using something within their traditional medical base. And then over time, it evolved when they modernized. It evolved into the traditional forms. Like in India, you can go to hospitals all over India and get what is known as Ayurvedic medicine. Now, it's not that this is just all folklore and guessing. No, there's good science supporting this, like curcumin from turmeric. Now, turmeric is one of the most commonly used spices in the world. It's what you get when you are you looking at curry. But it's what's inside the turmeric that's important, curcumin. I've seen curcumin in individuals I've worked with who've had really severe inflammation throughout the body, and especially with autoimmune conditions. Taking curcumin twice a day in good doses, I'm not going to tell you the dose because I don't want you to think, well, then I'll just take that dose. No, everything is specific to the condition, turns it right off, that and black cumin seed oil. But you're not going to necessarily see all that in our own American scientific literature. Now, good for the National Library of Medicine because it accepts peer-reviewed science from around the world. I'll give you one example. I was going to do a study at the Institute of Applied Biology, where I had my own research laboratory, and I was going to see whether or not magnets or electrified magnets, electromagnetic therapy, could make a difference, whether we could see in two groups, one controlled that did not receive it and one that did receive it, a difference. But first I contacted the FDA. They said there was no science on magnet therapies. Didn't work. All right. But then I looked around the world at other literature, and it just so happens that there was a Russian scientist who worked downstairs at the Institute in the cancer division. And I just asked him, I said, do you know of anything that they've done in Russia on magnets? Of course, we do a lot of work on magnets. So suddenly I was shown a whole lot of literature. Now, it was in Russian, but fortunately he translated it, and it showed that indeed, if you took certain gauss a magnet, a negative gauss, let's say 10,000 gauss, in a bar that looked like a candy bar, and you put it at the base of your head at night, it could help you with depression because the magnet could pulse through the brain, hit the pineal gland, help with melatonin secretion, things that we just didn't have any experience or science to back it up. But there was science there. So I went ahead and did the studies. I wrote a book on it, yeah, with all the citations, the back of the book, about healing with magnets. And we had a gentleman, after reading the book, showed up. His name was a Dr. Fox. And he had what looked like a aluminum suitcase. That's what it looked like. As a result of that, at the Tri-State Healing Center, our 22 medical staff were given an article I wrote and shown this study, and they could come over at any time at the Institute, where I would frequently be at night and sometimes overnight working, and they could see the results. And we tried it, and it worked with a lot of people, especially pain, and putting magnets where the pain was helped, and even developing, I made a magnetic mattress. There was 250 quarter size or half dollar size magnets in there, 10,000 gauss each, and we put it into the center. We had a room that was a de-stressing relaxation room, and I made it so it would fold over a chair and people could sit in it. And everyone said it made them feel a lot better. Pain was reduced. And so the idea was, okay, let's help do this. And there was one doctor in the United States using magnet therapy with great results. So in any case, one day this gentleman came in and he had a suitcase, looked like a suitcase, but it was all kind of like in a silver, aluminum look. And he opened it up, it was a computer. And in that computer, he could program based upon where the injury was, the gauss that would help with that particular injury or inflammation. And we tried it. You know, we were curious, and we tried it. And we tried it on people who had, for example, knee problems, back problems, pain in the ankles, and he would put everything in the computer and then attach these wires with straps, and it worked. We had tremendous results with that. And but at the same time, our government was not funding any research in this subject. So the question was, where do we look for our information? And what happens when someone says, oh, there's nothing there? There might not be at that place. Maybe they're not aware of it, but it is being done elsewhere. One other thing, I was going to go to the University of Hamburg in Germany to study their work on cell implant therapy. This is what preceded gene therapy. And it had been going on since Dr. Niehans from Switzerland back in the 1920s and 30s and 40s was in Switzerland taking sheep embryo and implanting it into people's buttocks. And then that would, what he implanted would go to the damaged organ in the body, or so that's what we were led to believe. I contacted the federal agencies in the United States. They'd never heard of any of this. It was all nonsense, no research. So I went over anyhow, because there was a clinic, and Dr. Klaus Martin had this clinic. There was another clinic also that I visited with a Dr. Goldwag and a Dr. Popoff. Now, these were properly credentialed people. These were not charlatans. They were not quacks. And there was 50 people at the one clinic, Dr. Klaus Martin. Fortunately, I took a lot of photographs. I didn't film anything, but I took a lot of photographs. But I interviewed 50 people. Why are you here? Well, I've got this, I got that. They all had something wrong. And how often do you come? About every 5 years. And what happens? Well, we get the injections and it makes us like new. Okay. So I wanted to see, okay, that's the clinical experience. And generally a placebo effect only lasts hours. So you're telling me people from all over the world would go there, get these implants, and for the next 5 years, you can't sustain a placebo effect for 5 years. So I went to the University of Hamburg, and they had 500 studies in their literature. And so one of the people who was at their clinic, he translated everything for me. And there was a lot of science behind this. So I knew we had something that was scientifically valid, that was clinically experienced for decades, and but it just taught me that don't stop looking for the truth, because the person you're speaking with may not know it. They may just be not aware of it, but it's out there. Now, this is one of those situations where for decades, anything Chinese, anything Japanese, anything Korean, anything Indian was just rejected in American medicine. In fact, you remember back when a reporter, a journalist, a very famous journalist for the New York Times, had was in China and had Chinese acupuncture and it dulled the pain during a procedure. He brought that story back. Nobody wanted to believe it. Well, there are thousands of studies, thousands in the peer-reviewed literature about how acupuncture works. I've seen it work. I've seen it work with someone who had excruciating pain, that nothing would work. And 3 sessions of acupuncture for about 30 minutes, gone. I've seen people who've had kidney failure and opened up the chi so the kidney could heal. The doctors treating that person said nothing would work. They were going to have to go to dialysis. Didn't have to go to dialysis. Today, normal kidney function. So our biases, our prejudices, play a big role in what we allow ourselves to be exposed to, even just to have a presentation. And fortunately, Chinese medicine today has a lot of answers and helping heal a lot of people, as is Ayurvedic medicine and other medicines around the world. In fact, I wrote a book, it's out of print, called Healings of the Great White Buffalo, and about Native American tribes using different ways of healing and preventing disease that are now being recognized and scientifically validated. So I'm just saying all this to say, keep an open mind, do your homework. And in this case, it was Tai Chi, T-A-I-C-H-I. and it showed that it can improve the health and well-being of those living with heart disease and high blood pressure and stroke. Let me just give you one good recent example. From Shanghai University, they have shown that Tai Chi, T-H-I, C-H-I, can improve the health and well-being of those living with heart disease, high blood pressure, or stroke. And where did they publish this? The Journal of the American Heart Association. And here's what they say. Quote, traditional Chinese exercises are a low-risk, promising intervention that could be helpful in improving quality of life in patients with cardiovascular disease, the leading cause of disability and death in the world. That's good news. So now, the top publication in heart disease in the United States by the number one organization says, yeah, it worked. All right? By the way, it also works in lowering blood pressure. And finally, from the University of California at San Diego, they ask a simple question. Can mindful eating help lower the risk of type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease? Well, you know the answer. Given the high stress levels, extended periods of screen time, and regular social outing, many Americans experience day-to-day in environments where high-calorie foods are readily available. It can be very easy to say, well, I'm hungry, I don't want to go home, it's middle of the week, there's no farmers markets, so I'm just going to go have a pizza or hamburger, hot dog, etc. That's not mindful. That's impulsivity. And we are a nation addicted to our impulses. We're addicted, and listen please carefully to this. I'm going to do a whole commentary on this coming up, not today, but on our classroom on the air. That we are a nation addicted to our comforts and our impulsive needs, meaning we need something now. Will you read a book? No, why should I read a book? I can go on and read a summary in one page. So do you really believe that you're going to understand everything about Maimonides, one of the greatest teachers, philosophers, healers, a physician in world history? Well, I'll get the gist of it. So now we're to a place where people just want the gist. Give me this short, quick answer. Why? Why don't you have patience to take your time, time to eat, time to talk, time for wonderful silence, time for introspection? We're living way too fast a life. We have too much stimulation. We're overstimulated with too many facts, and we don't know which ones are accurate and which ones are not, so we tend just to, based upon our biases and conditioning, take from the people that we trust. What if they're wrong? Too bad. So anyhow, what they're saying here is that when you're mindful, when you ask yourself, what is the purpose of this meal? I'm going to become it. My heart, my brain, my cells, the energy. All this is a part of what I'm about to eat. Then by being mindful about what you select, eat and drink, and how you do it and where you do it, that is very important, because research shows that practicing mindfulness, or taking the time to bring awareness to present moments and experiences with an open attitude of curiosity and non-judgment, can be effective in allowing us to make more thoughtful choices about our food and recognize when we're hungry and satisfied or full and not overeat and not eat junk food. And all that will play a decisive factor in our ultimate health. And whether we have a cardiovascular disease, weight problem, diabetes, or anything else that puts us at risk. Just makes common sense. But they had a study to kind of prove it. Okay, we got the message. And that's the latest on health and healing. And remember, some people just watch the health and healing part of our program, and that's fine. But we have a whole lot more coming and a lot of stuff that you were not aware of. And also, you can go to Gary Nall Google and see the latest classrooms on the air. And it's free. And it's always positive, always something that helps us in the choices we make to make better choices. And you can also go to GaryNall.com for all my almost 1,000 articles, the videos, and the information, calls to action. And every day, Monday to Friday, noon to 1, PRN.live, PRN.live, Progressive Radio Network.live, and Tuesday evenings, 7 o'clock, Progressive Commentary Hour. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. I'm going to ask you to call in a few moments to share your points of view. We were the first program, radio program at least, to bring you the inside information from a group of economists and mathematicians who were looking at statistics that showed that we had a lot more people injured and dead than what any government was willing to tell us. They continue for the last 2 years. It was headed by Edward Dowd. Now, he is an orthodox financial person. In fact, he ran BlackRock, one of its divisions with multi-billion dollar investments. But that's not what we're talking about. Here's the latest today. And you have not seen or heard this before. This is based upon insurance actuary statistics, meaning when you buy life insurance and you die, your family gets the benefit. They're the beneficiaries. So it's not a guess. It's not like the Veris vaccine adverse reporting system where a lot of people were told not to fill it out. They found it was too much of a hassle, or they just let it go. So that figure is completely unrealistic. These are real figures. This is only for the United States. As of this morning, quote, estimated human cost, 26.6 million injured in the United States. Let me repeat that. 26.6 million injured in the United States. 1,360,000 permanent disabilities. 300,000 excess deaths at a cost of $147.8 billion. So, now, you get a better understanding why the media, who was complicit in promoting this and was self-righteous in their promotion, you must do this. If you're not taking this, you're a danger member. That fool over on CNN, John Lemon, or whatever his name is, I can't watch these people. I don't watch television because of the idiocy, the lack of scholarship, the lack of honesty, the lack of due diligence, lack of caring whether or not what you're doing is being a tool for the special interest or whether you're telling the truth. In any case, none of them told us the truth about anything. Everything they said ended up being a lie that we're now finding. So now they want to walk back, and they want to walk back everything they did. Well, how are you going to walk back 300,000 Americans died who didn't have to, and 1,360,000 are permanently disabled, and 26.6 million are injured, and those are just the initial figures? Listen carefully what I'm going to say. Based upon all of the research and scholarship that we have done, the worst is yet to come. It could dwarf these figures. Why? Because when these figures were accruing, we did not realize the extent to these self-organizing nanolipid particles that were part of the vaccines that once again in your body reorganize themselves into clogging long strings of sticky rubberous matter in your veins and arteries so the blood can't get through and you clot. Also from graphene oxide, tiny little shards of cutting into the capillary walls, causing hemorrhaging, which then causes clots. Also, the amount of myocarditis and all these athletes dropping dead, 1,800% increase in young, healthy people with no risk factors, no smoking, drinking, top physical form, dropping dead. And they tried to keep this out of the news. They didn't report it. And anytime they did report someone dying who was young, who had no comorbidities, no reason for him to die, they simply said of unknown reasons. Well, all you had to do is an autopsy and you find the reason. And now we know it's in the heart. So what can you not do when you have an injured heart? You cannot exercise. Endocarditis. Myocarditis is the inflammation of the exterior of the heart. endocarditis is inside the heart, and it's permanent, it's not transient. Fauci lied. When you have it, you will end up having an event. I cannot tell you the outcome of that event, but I can tell you a lot of people have died spontaneously. And yet, now, this report should be in everyone's to-read box. I've included it on PRN site, so you can go to our site, download it for yourself. These are real statistics. Again, 26.6 million injured, 1,360,000 permanently disabled, and 300,000 dead. And how many dead people did it take with the swine flu vaccine in 1976 before we banned it? 23, and we banned it completely, and 300,000 dead Americans, and we're still promoting it. And you still believe any of these people? When we have facts, not opinions. These are not opinions. Opinions can be accurate or inaccurate to some degree or another. We're talking about actual statistics. Your thoughts on this, how American government officials in all of our major agencies that were involved, the CDC, the Department of Defense. Oh, and mentioning the Department of Defense, guess what else we have to share with you today that you didn't know? And now I want you to think on this. I want you to think this is not going to be a trick question. When did the United States government, through its U.S. Department of Defense, issue a contract for COVID-19 research? And that I put in parentheses because that's what the contract says, COVID-19 research. And where did they give this? In Ukraine. And when did they give it? 3 months before COVID was even known to even exist. This is from the expose. Well, exactly how did the Department of Defense, who had been probably working for months to get this contract through, how did they know there was a COVID-19? Why would they give it to Ukraine labs long before there was even a known case of COVID? Quote, "The world first started to hear about a novel coronavirus in early January 2020, with reports of an alleged new pneumonia-like illness spreading across Wuhan, China. However, the world did not actually know of COVID-19 until February 2020, because it was not until the 11th of that month that the World Health Organization officially named the novel coronavirus disease as COVID-19. So with this being the official truth, why does the United States government data show that the United States Department of Defense awarded a contract on the 12th of November 2019 to the Labyrinth Global Health Inc. for, quote, COVID-19 research at least 1 month before the alleged emergency, an emergence of the novel coronavirus, and 3 months before it was officially dubbed COVID-19. The shocking findings, however, do not end there. The contract awarded in November 2019 for, quote, COVID-19 research was not only instructed to take place in Ukraine. It was, in fact, part of a much larger contract for a, quote, biological threat reduction program in Ukraine, end quote. What does that mean? Weaponizing a virus. So then the gain-of-function research in this case was specifically as a biological weapon. Ah, well, that's not good. No, it's not. And now you know the truth. And we have the documentation, the dates, the name. How can you name something before it has been known to exist? How can you fund something to become a biological weapon and do it in Ukraine? Why Ukraine? Plausible deniability. If it was done anywhere in the United States and it leaked, then just imagine what would happen to the people in the United States, even the sleeping masses, the silent majority would awaken to that if they knew that there was an intentional creation of a virus, that the government owned the patents on, that's proven, that there have been dozens of gain-of-function research, but that gain-of-function research just didn't go to Wuhan lab, and it was done in a circumventing way through Ralph Baric, University of North Carolina, and Global Health. So Peter Daszak. And then it went, now we know, there's evidence, not a word of it in the media, and went through the Department of Defense that only engages not in vaccine research. There are other labs that do that in China, but specifically for weaponization. And we paid for that. They've tried to expunge that, but people inside got that information. Just want to share that with you. Yeah, might not be important to you, but it tells you a lot of stuff we did not know. Just in that, again, it's all up on PRN, so you can read it for yourself. 888-874-8888. 888-874-4888. One other thing, I'm just going to hit on a few little things before we have a lot of people calling in right now, is that the first thing I saw on the news, depending upon which channel, was it was the guns. Everything was about the guns. In fact, one broadcast didn't even mention the three young children who were killed. And anyone challenging the killer was transphobic. And wow, how far off ethical do you have to go to make your point? This was not about stopping a person who they didn't know what she was or he was when they intervened. This person had already killed six people, three adults, three children. And they try to make it about the weapons. Again, they keep doing this over and over again. Those people do not want you to know there are other ways of examining this. What happened to the German population, the Russian population, the Cambodian population with Pol Pot, and all of the major countries when they completely took away all the guns from the population? There was mass slaughter, tens of millions in each country, plus other factors, including drought and Stalin was... When I think of how many people I met when I came to New York City, hung out at the 89th and Broadway's New Yorker bookstore. It was a Marxist bookstore, Marxist communist. And those were the only people there. And I was just interested in what their beliefs were. I wanted to see. I never shared my beliefs. I never shared them. I simply shared the idea. What do you believe, Gary? I said, I believe whatever history can show are honest facts and rationale and reason. I'm not a part of an ism. I'm not a part of any ism. I like to look beyond that because any ism can also be biased to different degrees and be wrong to different degrees. And okay, so let that go. My first employer was a avowed communist, but fully hypocritical. She hated capitalism, yet each day I would watch her as she would negotiate the biggest deal she could for editing books and getting that money, living a wonderful life in the Bancroft Hotel. I had a little tiny desk there. It wasn't even an office. It was a walk-in closet where this little tiny desk was, and I would sit there. Why? Because she would fall asleep after eating a mound of sugary snacks. She was a great writer, by the way. I mean, phenomenal. And she was very intellectual, and all of her friends were. But I get the calls from the editors. We're late on a manuscript. You know, she's 4 months late. This is due for publication. And one day a woman came to the place and came upstairs. She had never been there. And she's looking and here's a big stack of manuscripts on Sarah's desk. Sarah was in her 80s. I was in my early 20s. And she said, oh my God, she's going through. She said, I got four manuscripts here. And I've been told all along, she's been fully paid for these, that these are to be published, and I'm getting all kinds of flack because these are not ready for publication. Can you do this? She says, let me see your writing. I showed her my writing. I was working on a manuscript, and I do red pencil editing, ghostwriting, meaning taking famous people's manuscripts and that weren't literate and making them literate and publishable. And she said, so Sarah does blue pencil, and you do red pencil? I said, yeah. She said, then you're the one turning in all the manuscripts. I said, well, I just work here. She says, well, I'm going to hire you to clean up all this mess. And she did. That's how I was able to fund my lifestyle, meager as it was, by being a ghostwriter. But the point was that virtually everyone who came into that room had their, they were all in their isms and they were self-righteous. They didn't want to hear from anyone else. There was no dialogue. It was just an echo chamber of why we are right and they're wrong. And I thought, wow, I didn't say anything. No one ever asked me anything. That leads me to this. You have a strong division between people who believe that we should take away all arms and only have the government arm, like 87,000 or whatever the number is, IRS agents to be armed. Why? And all government officials should be armed. The police and everyone else should be armed and heavily armed, but the citizens should not. Why not? And anyone who gets killed, it's the weapon that killed them. Compared to what? All the people armed that never have shot anyone or themselves, which is like 99.9%. So I took a look at the actual science, and researchers analyzed the results of 34 clinical trials involving more than 5,000 children taking one of 14 antidepressants promoted constantly on television, in schools, in doctors' offices, and certainly by the psychiatric community. Only one, I repeat, only one clinical study was able to show any relief in the symptoms, not the cause, of depression. That meant that 95% of all the drugs being taken, all the drugs being tested, were ineffective, with very serious side effects. Why didn't we know about that? Would you have given your child a drug for the child's hyperactivity or depression or anxiety that could end up causing suicidal ideation or homicidal tendencies? You might have thought differently. You would have had more information. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention found a household survey of the United States that 16.5% of adults took antidepressants, the SSRIs being the most common ones. A report by the CDC in 2017 found that among persons ages 12 and older between 2011 and 14, almost 13%, 12.7% were taking these drugs, and frequently multiple drugs, antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs. Almost all the soldiers, about 20 to 22 per day, every day since 1981, 160,000 soldiers put a gun in their mouth normally and kill themselves. Teenagers killing themselves. The number one cause of death between young boys ages 10 to 14 is suicide. When I was growing up, when you were growing up, no one committed suicide. But then again, we didn't have a psychiatric and medical profession willing to prosper at the cost of wrong diagnosing and wrong treatment. So I just want to share some statistic. In fact, an investigation in 2021 of mass shootings from 1966 to February 2020 found that 23% of mass shooters during this period were taking psychiatric medications. 8.6% of American males are on antidepressants in any given day, and they represent the highest percentage of mass shooters. 39 mass shooters were either on antidepressants at the time of their rampage and had abruptly quit taking their medications when they went on their killing spree, or have been prescribed antidepressants at some point in the past. And this is serious. These statistics are up through 2018. There have been 27 international drug regulatory agency warnings on psychiatric drugs, including mania, violence, hostility, aggression, psychosis, homicidal ideation, meaning fantasies of committing murder. 49 warn of self-harm or suicide, suicidal ideation, and 17 report addiction or withdrawal effects. The FDA MedWatch system, between 2004 and 2012, 14,700 reports of psychiatric drugs causing violence, including homicide, and 3,300 cases of mania, where you can commit homicide, and 8,200 cases of extreme aggression, where you can harm someone or kill someone. Harvard Medical School, quote, the irritability and impulsivity from antidepressants can make people suicidal or homicidal. Professor of Biology at Loyola University in Maryland says, quote, the link between antidepressants and violence, including suicide and homicide, is well established. Still enormous denial in psychiatric communities and in the media about this. The NRA places the blame on psychic drugs, not on gun ownership. That's them. They have a vested interest. But the epidemic growth of drug ads, including psychiatric drugs, the New York Times reported that in 2016, over 771,000 ads were shown. Wow, a 65% increase from the last time. I have hundreds of examples. James Egan Holmes, the AKA the Batman movie killer, shot up a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado in July 2012 during a screening of The Dark Knight. In the weeks prior to the shooting, his psychiatrist had increased his dosage of Zoloft. And I have hundreds of examples. I can name you the person, the date, the drug they were on, and how many people they killed. So here's a question for you. Did anyone ask, did this shooter in Mississippi, did this shooter take any psychiatric drugs? Were they on antidepressants or antipsychotics? Or were there any medications this person was taking that could end up having these reactions? And unless we know that, and that's the one figure the government will not give you, just saying, things we should think about that we're not. The objective, calm, focused scholarship that we choose not to use. We politicize and then weaponize even tragedies. Shame on the media for doing that yesterday. It's an embarrassment to your lack of ethics and morality. All of you in the media. Now, so what do you think about the U.S. government Department of Defense issuing a contract for COVID-19 research in Ukraine, weaponizing it? Is specific in the contract, can't deny that. Got the paper, can't deny that. 3 months before COVID was even known to exist. Now you figure that out. See, their whole plausible deniability is just collapsing. That said, there are other things that are also important. There are 574 federally recognized Native American tribes. I'm doing a documentary on the history of all 574. I'm going to all the reservations. There are over 300 Native American reservations. I'm doing this over the next 3 years. Anyone in the audience who's interested in seeing how this is done, I'm going to be getting an RV and going from state to state, reservation to reservation, so they can tell their story. The wise men and women within that tribe will tell us, and then I'll be using Vinny's footage to show an interesting story. It'll be part of a This is one of my projects for myself. Almost every other documentary I've ever done has been for you. I'm doing one on the real Trail of Tears. I'm doing one on the life of Jackie Wilson, one of the most unappreciated, greatest artists of all time. He was the Michael Jackson without the problems in his era. I'm doing a few of these that I want to do because I want to show people a different perspective of what it is in their own cultures. Also, the exact number of reservations and the extent of their sovereignty can vary widely depending upon the tribe. Sovereignty of Native American tribes is often limited to federal law by court decisions, which can restrict the tribe's ability to govern its own affairs and control its own land. As of 2021, there are more than 240 Native American casinos operating in the United States located on reservations and other tribal lands. This gives them a source of income, which hopefully, in a sense of sharing, they share with their tribal members, raises the standard of living, raises the opportunity for higher education and better career moves, etc., at least for those who want that. At least they will have the resources, not be limited. I'm not going to say anything more on this today, because tomorrow I'm going to do a whole commentary on what's happening in California and San Francisco. I'll do that tomorrow. So, one more thing before we go to our two other things that I want to share with you today. This is interesting. People took a look at fluoride and found out that in the latest study, the newest study, even newer than the one last week, it serves no useful purpose and is dangerous for use. There's just one more study. And from the American Geophysical Union, the Greenland ice sheet is close to melting point of no return. Quote, and this is from Period Publication, once we emit about 1,000 gigatons of carbon, much of the massive ice sheet will melt irreversibly. We are emitting 500 gigatons so far. And by the way, based upon the Great Silk Road, the Chinese building, and all the power structures, coal-fueled, and India and the United States, all of our pollution, it's increasing this rapidly. And that means that when this melts, and it looks inevitable it's going to, we just don't know how quickly, but it's melting very fast, that we will end up with 23 feet, that's 7 meters, increase in the ocean. That means virtually every home in every city around the United States and around every European country would be flooded for about anywhere, probably up to about 30 miles inland. All of it. Now, it won't melt all at once, but as it melts, you're going to see South Florida, Miami, south of Miami. You're going to see the Keys, all of them, and Homestead, all of that in the very near future will be unsustainable for living because the water will come in and wash out the sand and wash out the structural integrity of the buildings. That's all happening, and yet some of the most expensive buildings in America are being built right there, right now, including $1 billion just to buy the land, 13 acres, in Miami to build a casino. Then no one's looking at the truth of anything. Now, let's go over and look at the truth of what we can do in a good way for our health, happiness, preventing and reversing disease, and living a longer life. On the phone right now, we have a few people who have been at previous anti-aging clinical studies. I've done 5. I'm about to do the 6th, the 14th, the 27th of May. And what makes this one different than the others that have had spectacular results is that because of the first 4 having great results, and objectively through independent blood workup created by an outside foundation, that they said, take the blood for these 56 different parameters like homocysteine, C-reactive protein, fibrinogen, etc., and then do these exercises, separate foundations, separate group of scientists, anti-aging scientists. They must do all these and show a real statistically significant improvement in their exercise, their body, the loss of fat, the gaining of muscle, strength, endurance, stamina, you know, feeling younger. And we did all that, and it worked. As a result, the last study, another major university and its foundation allowed us to use their exclusive test that is the only one that I know of this kind, the finest, is called a DNA methylation test. And when we took that before and after, it showed that we increased people's lifespan 2.2 years. Now, that's misleading. Why? Because half the people in the study finished the study but did not finish the study correctly. And we didn't see this at the time. I saw it about week 2 when I was asking one of the people, did you do your workout earlier? No. Well, when are you going to do it? Well, I really haven't thus far. I said, we're halfway through the study. When were you going to start? And then they didn't do the juicing. They didn't do the vitamins. And then we started finding other people did the same thing. So we ended up with a study that half the people did their work and had phenomenal results. And half the people finished the study and didn't do it correctly, and they didn't have any results. So when you're doing an aggregate, you end up taking the best and the worst, and you aggregate it, and still, in spite of those people not doing anything of value, we still had a positive result, 2.2 years. One of the people had a 6-year. I don't know who that is, because everything was in code from the university. It's like 70 pages of code. So one of the scientists at the university said, screen out people who are unmotivated, and get some people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s who are going to be far more motivated than older people. And he is correct. Older people really are hard to work with. I mean, they are really hard. They got everything ass backwards. My life is shrinking. I'm going to die. I got this pain, that pain. You know, what's the point? Why should I get out of my comfort zone? Because your comfort zone and staying in it is what's caused you to be diseased, dementia, Alzheimer's, arthritis, heart disease, and everything else that could go wrong. That's not normal. Well, everyone else has it. Well, you've got a lot of people doing the wrong things then. So you shouldn't have to age with any illnesses, and you should actually be able to maintain your youth and increase it. I just did a state championship, won the Golden 3000, but I set a new record in the 2 mile. You realize that 2 mile record I set is the fastest race I've done in 5 years, and I keep racing, and I keep winning, but I set a record. How that happened? How in the world are you faster 5 years than you were 5 years before? Hair's thicker, body stronger, because I paid attention to what I was doing. I didn't cheat. So this upcoming study is going to be with people who don't come with the intention of just having me cure something. That ain't going to happen. So you got all kinds of real bad illnesses. This is not for you. There are other ways of helping you. This isn't one of them. And so we have some people who were in this, so you can hear from them what happens when you commit yourself to a higher ideal, when you get out of your comfort zone and you're willing to really change around. Let's say hello to Nan, who is standing by on the phone. Hi. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay,
please tell your story.
Sure. I'm one of those people that participated in Gary's anti-aging study last May. I wanted to share a little bit about myself and the study. I first learned about it from my sons, who had been following Gary for many years. They handed me Luann's phone number and suggested I call her if I wanted to take control of my health and add years to my life. When I called Luann, she explained the program in more detail, including some of the lifestyle changes it required. She suggested I take some time and meditate on whether it was where I was called to be. It didn't take me long to decide that I needed to be a part of this groundbreaking study to reverse aging. The villa in Texas is beautiful and offers you so many quiet niches to appreciate the glory of nature. The people that I met there were amazing. Their life stories were equally inspiring for me. During the 2 weeks I was there, I felt both recharged and challenged. I enjoyed power walking through that beautiful property, yoga, improv skits, drum circles, art classes, the gym, the butterfly house, the pool, gardens, and all of those beautiful animals that call the villa home. Gary held numerous presentations, probably more than he planned on, that were both provoking and educational for everyone. He did encourage us to watch and discuss his DVDs, which covered so many subjects, and offered us an opportunity to be more conscious and more aware in the choices we make each day and how they impact our health and life. This was just what I needed, as I had recently retired and was looking forward to a way to a full and happy life. Our group also met by phone for the 3 months following the retreat, which was a great support to everyone in our continuing journey. Gary came in on those phone calls, offered us topics and questions to contemplate about our life habits and choices. Personally, they helped me to identify maladaptive behaviors that I had carried from my youth and look into how I might change them moving forward. The DNA evidence for our group proved that Gary's protocol of diet, exercise, supplements, stress management, meditation, and a positive mental outlook were able to give all of us the gift of a longer and healthy and happier life. It's been a year since I was at the villa. I continue much of the lifestyle changes that I took home with me because, honestly, they're working. My blood pressure has lowered. I do feel healthier. I have more energy and stamina. Plus, I have a more positive outlook on my life moving forward. So I want to just personally thank Gary, Luann, and all of the wonderful people there, Cecilia, John Q, everyone that helped support Gary in this protocol and study. And I look forward to hearing some more great results from this year's program.
You will, because this time I insisted, before I agreed to do the study, which takes a lot of time, a couple thousand hours of pre-planning with a group of us, Luann and Richard Gale, and collecting all the data. Every single thing we do, we have to have 5 to 10 peer-reviewed studies from PubMed to support its efficacy and safety. But this time I said, I want the supplements. I'm going to do it. I want to do some of the exercises beyond what you're suggesting. And we're going to have monitors there, so no one can cheat this time. We're going to have someone give out the vitamins. We're going to have someone give out the juice. We're going to have someone in the gym measuring. We're going to do impedance tests every morning, blood pressure every morning. We're going to do everything every day so that nobody will fall off and everybody will be supporting one another. So we're going to get better results. And by the way, remember, listen what I'm saying. There has never been a study that we can find in all these other lots of scientists who are in on this now, who are supporting this. None of them said that there was another study that ever did everything we did. This is the most comprehensive anti-aging study, and we had the results. We actually proved scientifically, not by opinion, through the blood and the DNA analysis, we extended a person's lifespan on a campus for 2 weeks by 2.2 years. Now, what would happen if all the people had done everything? Then one of the scientists said this week, then you would have expanded about 5 years, added 5 years, quality 5 years in people's lives for being on campus for 2 weeks and followed for 90 days. That's what we're doing this time. Thank you very much. We also have another person on. We have Suzanne on. Hi, Suzanne. Your story, please.
Hi, Gary. Well, boy, that was a comprehensive, she did a great job.
Tell us what your results were.
She dropped, Gary. We're going to try to get her reconnected.
Oh, she just got disconnected? Okay, well, we'll get another person on here.
You have Suzanne on. You have Suzanne.
Suzanne, you're back on. If you would, please, you have rather than repeating what she said, tell us the results. What happened that benefited your life from being in that study?
Gary, you have Luann, not Suzanne.
Oh, sorry, we have Luann. Luann, nice to have you on. We don't seem to have her back on right now.
Okay.
What did you see administering and every day? What did you see were the primary changes in people who came?
I would say, Gary, that the whole anti-aging concept is more of a philosophy of being. And if I saw one major change, it was that people changed their whole philosophy of being alive. It's not about aging. It's about how you view yourself in the world with new wisdom that you have, new information that you have. And that sort of fueled the self-discipline for those who actually followed through and did the protocol. That's what I witnessed. I mean, I saw lab results. I saw a guy who had a PSA of over 100. And after just 3 months, it went all the way down to 0.4. which is unheard of. Unfortunately, we didn't get the rest of his data, but I mean that's a palpable change. And people feel in the anti-aging group, once they've gone through the group and they exercise that self-discipline and they integrate this new lifestyle, they feel they have more control over their lives. They don't feel like the victims of any at all of anything. They are focused, they're curious. They have that childlike quality of curiosity and finding joy in everything that they can, and especially being in nature. That was another big thing. Some people were never used to being in nature as much. So I saw just incredibly positive changes. And, I think it's people living with passion again, people living with insights and goals and plans and wanting to learn new things and do new things. It's just truly an amazing program from where I'm sitting.
Well, we had a great staff, and there were so many people there encouraging people at every step. And we select the staff based upon their own completeness, where they're at in their own journeys. And these people have all helped other people. That's what they do throughout their life. In the kitchen, the organization, The Kitchen by Connie, she's very organized in her own businesses. She brought that professional background so that everything got out on time. Our chef, master chef, who's worked in Michelin restaurants, had to work with vegan foods. Our foods are vegan, but to make them gourmet, the plater, the person that's brought in just a plate to make sure everything, the serving. People don't realize some of the people serving were judges. I mean, regular, that's what they do. They're a judge. But here we don't tell anyone what a person does, so they would know that there's medical doctors teaching you a class on fermenting, and there's a There's a great vegan vegan out of Ohio who's going to be teaching classes on microgreens, sprouts, vegetables, hydroponics, how to grow no matter where you're at. So we're trying to hit every single point that impacts a person. I do sometimes 6 lectures a day on what I see people need, in which case then they can be a half hour long to 2 hours long. But people walk away at the end of a day thinking, wow, I know a lot more now about my life and why I made certain choices, right choices, wrong choices than I did had I not been here. And then reinforcing the importance of taking back control over your life so that the older you get, the smaller your life doesn't become until finally there's no life there. You're existing each day through some form of expressed ritual. And instead of being vibrant and being able to renew and rejuvenate, and that's the goal, renewal and rejuvenation. But we've proven we can do it at the biochemical level, and that's never been done before. Everything has always been theoretical. Not now. You have no idea how many, my goodness, the invitations to publish articles in peer-reviewed journals and be invited to medical conferences. I was just invited to be at one, but I can't because I'm finishing up this documentary to come to New York as soon as possible and premiere it. We will be premiering a lot of films down there as well. So that's it for us. Luann, for those who feel they want to be a part of an anti-aging study who are 40 or over, give them your phone number, please.
Surely. It's 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008.
And keep in mind, there was misinformation put out, as sometimes people just mislisten or they misinterpret. We had people on the program who had very serious, including life-ending illnesses, and I helped them in their journey. But we didn't know they had those problems when they arrived. And rather than sending them home, I wanted to give them a chance. But first I had to deal with the diseases they came with. That we dealt with. And then we were able to still help them in their aging process. This time, if you have a serious illness, this will not be a program for you. Now, I'm going to help you in another way, but that I'll be discussing. Minor things we can deal with. You know, as long as you're able to do the exercising and walk and not need care, then fine. Then you should be able to be helped. But do not call Luann as you've been flooding her saying, oh, my mom's got dementia. Is Gary going to? No. This is not for that. I'm going to do a brain-changing protocol over the internet starting in June and running for 12 months. But that's a separate program altogether. It has nothing to do with this anti-aging one. Here, you're going to be very vigorous. You're doing a lot of exercise. You're going to use a lot of muscles. And so if you feel that this would help you, give her a call. Okay? Thanks, Luann. We're out of time, and it's time now for Utrice Lead.